Even though Black Friday gets all the hype, U.S. consumers will spend an estimated $26 billion on December 22nd, or what some people call Super Saturday, i.e. the last Saturday before Christmas. That's $2 billion more than they spent on Black Friday.
Facebook firing back after a New York Times report said the social network gave other companies far more access to users' data than it had previously disclosed. In a blog post, Facebook admitted that it allowed companies, including the New York Times and tech giants like Netflix and Spotify, to read people's private messages, but it denied it did so without users' consent and said it violated no FTC rules.
In the face of searing criticism from President Trump,
the Fed has gone crazy.
The U.S. Federal Reserve Wednesday hiking interest rates for the fourth time this year and forecasting two more rate hikes to come in 2019. Stocks slumped on the news as some investors had hoped the Fed would blink and hold off on more rate hikes for now.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. I'm Bennett Wakenight, stepping in for Steve Grzanich today. This is The Opening Bell on 720 WGN. Thanks so much for starting your day off with us today. We've got a full show as usual. We will be kicking things off with our usual Thursday format with our thought leader conversation with Brett McKittrick, talking about a little bit of the concerning changes that we should be aware of with Obamacare, also known as the Affordable Care Act. That will be in our first segment today, as long also with us, Heather Long. She will be with us talking a little bit about if the economy might be too good to be true. There's a lot of positive outlooks going out there, and there's still a lot of America that is living in a tough place. So we'll be covering two of those topics today. But first, we will take a look at the Associated Bank Market Desk kicking off your morning today. Red across the board, another down day earlier in this week was a concern. We'll be continuing today. Dow futures down nearly 29 points, that is. S&P futures down just nearly 2.75. NASDAQ just changed to a positive green screen, up 2.25 points. In Europe, DAX will be trading down just nearly 1%. FTSE as well, down 0.5%. The CAC down nearly 1.5%. In Asia, the Nikkei trading down another day, negative 2.84%. Shanghai as well, nearly 0.5%. And the Hang Seng down nearly 1% as well. Some of these stories that were happening overnight and a little bit yesterday and kicking off your morning as well. Like you heard from Vic in the news, the Federal Reserve on Wednesday raised its benchmark interest rate 0.25 point, but lowered its projections for future hikes. As markets had expected, the central bank took target range for its benchmark funds rate to 2.25% to 2.5%. The move marked the fourth increase this year and the ninth since it began normalizing rates in December 2015. Like you heard there in the montage, very concerning news coming out of Facebook. More struggles as they defend their messaging partnership and after its shares tumbled more than 7% following a report that it allowed intrusive access to user data on Tuesday from the New York Times. The report that companies such as Netflix, Spotify, and the Royal Bank of Canada were given extensive access to Facebook users' private messages, including the ability to read, edit, and delete them. Another step forward for the cannabis market as marijuana producer Tilray Inc. Tilray been in the news very much so this lately. They announced yesterday that it was signed a research partnership with Budweiser maker Anheuser-Busch InBev as the Canadian cannabis industry continues to strike deals with legacy industries. The joint venture will run through Anheuser-Busch's subsidiary, Labatt Breweries of Canada, and each company intends to invest up to $50 million to research beverages infused with tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC, and or CBD. We kick things off today with the usual Thought Leader Thursday here on The Opening Bell as Brett McKittrick, SVP and Senior HR Consultant at Associated Benefits and Risk Consulting, part of Associated Bank, is here to share some big developments in the health benefits world. Brett, good morning and welcome back to The Opening Bell.
Great to be back.
Obamacare, also kind of formerly known as the ACA, the Affordable Care Act, had some major shifts going on. So kind of walk us through the basics of what happened, where we were at, and where we are now.
Sure. And, you know, this is about as exciting as things get in the always fascinating world of employee benefits law. But, you know, at the very crux of the Affordable Care Act exists one part called the individual mandate. And what this really, you know, what we're going to talk about today, kind of illustrated by what happens when you pull the thread of a sweater, right? And seeing what could possibly come undone. So this individual mandate back in 2010, Congress's intent was to say, hey, every taxpayer and taxpayer's dependent should have some type of minimum health insurance coverage. Or if not, they face the possibility of paying a tax penalty. So this was an incentive, right? A reverse incentive. But it's not uncommon with other, you know, types of tax law in a historical context. You know, our country has always wanted us to buy homes, so there's always been mortgage interest deductions. It helps our country to procreate, so there's been deductions for dependents. And so this is really the same thing, just on a reverse penalty side. Well, the purpose of it was, as another very important part of the Affordable Care Act, something known as guaranteed issue. The elimination of pre-existing condition exclusions was basically said, hey, insurance companies and employers offering insurance plans, you cannot restrict what you're going to cover based on someone's prior medical history anymore. So it's the U.S. government telling a private industry what to do. Well, in order to, you know, this is quid pro quo, right? In order to get the insurance companies on board with this idea, the individual mandate was born. So in essence, to prevent a person from coming onto an insurance plan just when they're diagnosed with something or sustain an industry or an injury, the insurance industry wants some type of a guarantee that they would be able to enjoy collecting people's premiums in the good times as well. That's the purpose behind the individual mandate. So fast forward then to 2012, the first time the constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act was challenged. And the Supreme Court basically looked at this and said, hey, the individual mandate is an integral part of the Affordable Care Act. But if we were just looking at that idea that the government's telling people what to do, it would be considered unconstitutional under the Constitution's Interstate Commerce Clause. So the Supreme Court in that decision in upholding the Affordable Care Act more or less said this is a taxing issue. And Congress had the taxing authority to say, we will penalize you if you do not have this insurance coverage. Thus, again, Affordable Care Act was upheld in that regard. But interestingly enough, the Supreme Court at that time also said Congress would not have passed the ACA back in 2010 without that individual mandate, which is a key component to where we're at right now. Fast forward again to 2017, the Tax Cut and Jobs Act. Tax reform that happened, you know, late last year, Congress basically eliminated the individual mandate by reducing the penalty amount to $0 beginning 1/1/19. On the heels of that tax reform, 20 U.S. states sued to have the ACA be declared unconstitutional. Congress effectively removed the individual mandate by saying the penalty amount to zero. As a result, it should be cut out and separate from the Affordable Care Act. And the judge agreed with the plaintiffs. That's what the ruling was last Friday.
And so that leaves us currently at a week after this all came to fruition, as far as the public eye, as far as political and business side of everything. And it's important to remind people that there's still a long legal road ahead with all of this before anything, you know, changes come 2019 in the next week or so. It's a long road ahead, right?
Yeah, it really looks like it. You know, what's going to happen now is this will obviously be appealed. And the natural course of appeal would go to a Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. And then depending on where it's affirmed or denied, it could go on up to the Supreme Court again. Now, there is a chance the Supreme Court could bypass the Court of Appeals and reach down and grab this just based on, you know, the heightened sensitivity and issues involving the Affordable Care Act. On the other hand, they might look at this and say, we already did this back in 2012. You other courts, you fight it. And then we'll decide if we need to step in.
Brett McKittrick with us this morning discussing some of the big changes to the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare. And coming up after this, we'll be talking a little bit of what we might expect in 2019 as far as consumer concerns are.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Share prices relinquished earlier gains to close broadly lower yesterday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was down 271 points to finish the session at 23,395. The S&P 500 lost about 1.3%, while the NASDAQ composite gave up nearly 150 points. Explanation? For the fourth time this year, the Federal Reserve boosted interest rates, pushing them up a quarter point. The Fed also suggested that it may slow down the pace of rate hikes next year. Higher interest rates might be to blame for pushing down home sales across the country. The National Association of Realtors says sales in November were down 7% compared with a year ago. That's the biggest drop in more than 7 years. The users of TripIt, one of the most popular travel apps, have spoken, ranking Dallas Love Field as the nation's top airport to fly into or out of. Last year, Dallas's in-town airport was deemed best for departures, but not for arrivals. Also making the list, Houston Hobby, Chicago Midway, Oakland, and Burbank. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. We are discussing with Brett McKittrick, a senior HR consultant at Associated Benefits and Risk Consulting, a little bit about healthcare and the insurance industry and the changes to the Affordable Care Act and Obamacare. And, you know, as we move into 2019, Brett, we're in the age of big data, and we're all hyper aware of, you know, where our data is going. But one of the trends going forward in 2019 is insurers using consumer devices to track policyholders, like cars tracking good driving practices and even toothbrushes recording how long you brush for. This is just another example of what can be tracked and what inevitably will be tracked, right?
Well, that's exactly right. And we'll have to wait to see how the laws catch up with this and regulation catches up with this. Because right now, as I mentioned, it's a little bit like the Wild Wild West. There's certain legal regulations in place to prevent employers from discriminating against people from a wellness side of things. And incentivizing good, healthy behavior is done within some very strict parameters. We'll probably see those parameters be expanded to the space as well, but not yet.
Right. And I think that's an important factor to kind of keep people in the light of, where just because maybe you don't have an active lifestyle compared to somebody else who might be on a similar health plan doesn't mean that you need to pay more or pay less compared to somebody who is a marathoner, who has great blood pressure and, you know, has great teeth in their dental plan.
Exactly, exactly. And then there's the privacy issue as well.
Right.
The more data that's being collected, well, it's just ripe for abuse, right? And the more someone could get in there and steal that data and use it really against an individual. You know, when we think of HIPAA privacy, you know, we kind of think of, in data breaches, we think of all the stuff we've heard in the news lately, you know, over the last few years. Something no one really thinks about is the idea of, what if you got a letter in the mail saying, I've hacked your pacemaker? Pay up or die.
Terrifying.
Right, right. And so, I mean, you know, that's something to consider.
Yeah, I think that'll be definitely on the forefront when it comes to the way that these are utilized with the mm-hmm. consumer technologies and everything moving forward. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, Brett, obviously, everything on the 2019 radar is teed up and ready for us. What other things might you be focusing on as we move forward into 2019?
Another thing employers should be aware of, and there's nothing really to do right now, is the eventual, I think, expansion of health savings accounts in mm-hmm. HSAs. You know, last summer, the House passed two bills that was sent over to the Senate, and the Senate's sitting on it right now because apparently there's bigger fish to fry. But a couple of measures that would expand the usage of health savings accounts in terms of what money could be used to be reimburses, as well as the expansion of maybe the dollars in terms of what people can put away to health savings account. You know, the HSAs are this really unique product that has this triple tax advantage where the money goes in tax-free and the interest grows tax-free. And if you use it for qualified medical expenses, it's tax-free coming out. So it's this great, yeah, it has a great use now if you have a need or a medical expense, but really it's a great retirement savings vehicle that will only grow when we see some of the regulations loosened.
Yeah, and this seems like it's one of those under the radar things where people see it on their benefit list or they might not be totally aware of it, but it's really thought of as no different than a pre-tax benefit from taking the train every day. This is really what it is, and this is what it's going to be like going forward.
Absolutely. So education, resources, that'll be a major component of that. You know, the HSA in and of itself is a bank account. It's not an employer-sponsored plan. However, employers can maybe put money in toward an employee's HSA. They probably allow people to reduce their payroll and remit money over to the HSA bank of their choice. So as a result, the employer is involved in their own education and helping employees understand what the benefit is will be key.
Sure. Well, obviously, a ton of stuff going on in your world and obviously impacting consumers and everyday people's lives. So, Brett, how can people get more information from you or further information on this? How might they be able to get in contact with you?
Sure, a couple different ways. We have a website, associatedbrc.com, and my email address is brett.mckittrick@associatedbrc.com.
Perfect. Brett, thank you so much for coming in, and happy holidays.
All right, happy holidays. Thanks.
Thought leader Brett McKittrick, SVP and Senior HR Consultant at Associated Benefits and Risk Consulting, part of Associated Bank. And remember, you can listen to past conversations with our thought leaders on WGNradio.com/leadership to learn more about thought leaders as well. Correction, that's the Associated Bank /leadership website there as well. And you can get up to date with all the news there as well.
Hi, this is Jim Dahlke, senior editor at Chicago Inno, with today's Inno Minute on WGN Radio, a rundown of all the Chicago innovation and tech news you need to know. Chicago startup Sprout Social has raised $40.5 million in new funding. The company helps brands like Adidas and Grubhub manage and analyze their social media accounts. Sprout has now raised $103 million to date. John Deere announced this week that it's launching a Startups Collaborator program to foster better relationships with upstart tech companies. The goal of the program is to deepen Deere's relationship with startups that can add value to Deere's customers. Among the companies already working with Deere is Hello Tractor, a startup that has roots with the University of Chicago. And this year's 1871 Latinx Incubator hosted a private demo day for entrepreneurs to pitch their startups to investors. 11 startups pitched more than 30 investors from local firms like Pritzker Group Venture Capital and Math Venture Partners. That's today's Inno Minute from WGN Radio. Learn more at chicagoinno.com and sign up for The Beat, our daily email newsletter.
WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning. It's 540. I'm Bennett Wakenight stepping in for Steve Grzanich today. And thank you so much for getting up with us and starting your day off. So the Federal Reserve yesterday announced their final interest rate hike of 2018, with Fed Chair Jerome Powell spreading his views of an overall optimistic economy. The numbers and the data might be showing that we're in a good place, but many people aren't seeing those results impact their day-to-day lives. Heather Long, an economics correspondent for the Washington Post, joins me now. Heather, good morning and welcome back to the Opening Bell.
Hi, Bennett. Good to be here.
So let's start with that news most recently from the Federal Reserve meeting yesterday that really threw the markets in a tizzy, and the markets just sort of rebounding today. What was it from that announcement that sparked a big sell-off? Because many of these traders were expecting this rate hike.
Yeah, that's right. It wasn't the rate hike that actually spooked the market. As you said, that was widely expected. It was already priced in, and 80% of traders were thinking it was going to happen. But what happened is the head of the Federal Reserve, Jerome Powell, he was giving a press conference just after the announcement of the interest rate hike. And Wall Street really expected him to come out and do what's called a dovish hike. So when he comes out and says, yes, we hike, we think the economy is healthy, but we're going to be a lot more cautious going forward and may not do as many rate hikes next year. So that's what people were expecting. And he tried to do that. He tried to hit those tones, but he also ended up sounding a little bit more likely to hike in 2019 than the market was hoping. And in particular, he answered two questions. One was mine, he said that it's no longer appropriate for monetary policy to be stimulative. So he's implying that he thinks we're in, we don't need to boost growth anymore. And the second thing he said is, in addition to moving interest rates around, the Federal Reserve also has bought a lot of assets, a lot of government bonds and mortgage-backed securities over the years to try to help the nation recover from the financial crisis. And they're starting to decrease that balance sheet. So they're not they don't want to hold as many of those bonds anymore. And so I had asked them, are you also going to slow the pace of rolling off those bond portfolio, which is a lot like interest rates. It's another form of tightening. And Powell said, no, we don't plan to change that at all next year. So those two things really made people say, wait a minute, is he really going to tighten more than we think next year?
Sure. And that's, you know, it's that little thing. I know the meeting or two before, it was a single word and the tone of that word that was said that threw traders into a chaos a little bit as far as trading off and buying. But earlier in the week as well, or in the month, you wrote in an article, you said that one of his quotes was that the economy is strong and almost, in quote, too good to be true. So this seems like this was really just a sobering of these good times that we've seen in all these data sheets, right?
I think you're right. I think the most important takeaway for most Americans who aren't traders on Wall Street is that the Fed also put out its latest projections for the economy, and they are predicting that growth is going to slow a good bit next year. So we've had a tremendous 2018, and we're growing at about 3%, which, if we do end up hitting 3%, would be the best since 2006. Undoubtedly very, very good growth. But next year, we're supposed to slow. The Fed said we're going to slow to about 2.3%. And only a few months ago, they were saying that number would be 2.5. So that doesn't sound like a big decrease, but in the world of economics, that's a pretty big change to be saying, actually, we think the headwinds are a lot stronger than we originally thought, and we're decreasing our forecasts for what's going to happen in 2019. So that also kind of woke people up and said, whoa, even the Federal Reserve that's been so optimistic about the economy is slashing its forecast for what's going to happen in the future.
Right, and that's really, you know, taking a step back to look at the bigger picture, as opposed to all these all these reports coming out and saying we're in a good place with low unemployment, historically low interest rates, inflation. But there's still, as you mentioned in your articles earlier, that there's this disconnect between the economy on paper and the economy that a lot of Americans are living in right now. Explain a little bit more of the reality of that situation.
You're right. I mean, every time I write about the economy and we say unemployment's at almost a 50-year low, these are great numbers to celebrate. But then my inbox gets flooded with people saying, wait a minute, that's not my experience. I'm still struggling. And so I was going back and looking at the data again, and you know, it continues to befuddle me that we see in this country 40% of people are saying that they don't have $400 in savings. They couldn't cover an emergency expense of $400. And again, that's 40% of this nation. And you can go down and look at other statistics too, that are, you know, that are similarly alarming. You know, we're in supposedly the best economy in years, if not decades, and yet again, almost half of America still rates the economy as just only fair or poor. Right. You know, so that's people's perception. And you know, when you go back to the late 1990s boom, that number was like a quarter of people saying that. And the one that really gets me, and I think is super alarming, is our suicide rate keeps going up, particularly for men in their prime working years, are committing suicide at a rate that's just never been seen before in the United States. And a lot of that appears to be driven by the struggles that many men continue to have to find work and find work that they consider work with dignity and work at good pay. And until that rate starts to plateau and hopefully come down, we've got some serious problems in the economy.
Right, and hopefully we're at that turning point where that shift will happen. Are we seeing particular areas that are, you know, this reality is getting hit with harder than others?
Yeah, definitely. It's in the United States, it's particularly been a problem in rural and smaller towns. I mean, we've all kind of seen those stories of parts of the country that, and maybe the more industrial areas that are struggling to transition, old coal mining towns, you know, some of the older manufacturing areas. And that's where you see the higher suicide rates. That's where you see, it's interesting, I was looking at a map of the United States the other day, and if you just look at creation of new businesses. So entrepreneurship, something we all pride ourselves on in the United States. If you just graph and map how many new businesses have been created since the Great Recession, since that struggle period, have we returned to that, to 2006 levels of entrepreneurship? And across the country, you know, you can see in the states and in the big cities, people are creating new businesses, people are thriving, and then areas that are not in big urban areas or on the coast, we still have not created as many new businesses as we were doing, you know, just over a decade ago. And that's just one another red flag, like, wait a minute, something still isn't quite right. We're still not quite back to where we were, you know, before that crisis hit in about half of America.
Right. And you allude to a number of these red flags in your piece. But trying to, you know, provide a positive outlook. And as we move into 2019, looking forward, what do you think might be one of these red flags that will move in the right direction for the lower and middle class and these rural and small towns?
I mean, in my mind, the best thing that's happening for the middle class and the working class in this country is we are finally starting to see pretty decent wage growth that's above inflation, so that it's growing faster than the cost of living, and then rent or gas prices are moderating. And so that means people are finally, you know, quote unquote, getting ahead, or at least getting climbing out of the hole we've been in. And those gains are across most industries on wages. So, you know, people lost a lot of income, a lot of wealth during that recession. And it's been a long struggle to try to get back. But if we can have a few more years of good wage growth, that's going to get us a long way there. The question, of course, for 2019, and part that was a big debate at that Fed meeting yesterday, is a lot of people, including the Federal Reserve, are predicting the economy is going to slow down next year, and people are starting to worry, are we going to see a recession in 2020? So if we see that recession in 2020, even if it's quote-unquote a mild recession, right, a lot of these gains for people who are just getting back into the workforce or are just starting to see those wage gains, those would go away very quickly, and that would be a real setback.
Yeah. A sobering meeting yesterday and a sobering tone now, but nevertheless, important to be on the radar. By Heather Long on Twitter. Heather Long, economics correspondent at The Washington Post. Heather, thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Take care.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to The Opening Bell. This is Bennett Wakenight in for Steve Grzanich today. Checking the WGN Associated Bank market desk this morning, Dow futures and the rest of the U.S. markets really bouncing back after a really down day yesterday. Dow futures up 0.24%, S&P futures up 0.23%, and NASDAQ futures up nearly 0.4%. Now checking business and agriculture and commodities, here is Orion Samuelson.
Good morning. Another bad day in the soybean market, despite the fact that we confirmed additional sales of 1.2 million tons to China in the second wave of buying. The market is not impressed with these sales, according to Rich Nelson with Allendale in McHenry. He said even with almost 3 million tons of new sales in the past few days, they are disappointed that this is not 5 or 8 million. But 2 weeks ago, we weren't selling any soybeans to China. So who came up with the expectation on numbers? So January soybeans down 7.25 cents a bushel, March corn down 4 cents a bushel, and March wheat down 10 cents a bushel in yesterday's trade. And in the livestock market, live cattle and lean hog futures ended mixed yesterday. Traders getting ready, squaring up positions ahead of two key government reports due later today. The U.S. Department of Agriculture scheduled to release its monthly cattle on feed report and its quarterly hogs and pigs crop report. That will be out at 2 o'clock this afternoon. But taking a look at some of the prices at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday. The April lean hog contract up 10 cents a hundredweight. December live cattle down 12 cents. And January feeder cattle down 25 cents a hundredweight in a fairly quiet livestock trade at the Merc yesterday. Again, two reports out today. You have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thank you, Orion. On the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for Thursday, December 20th, 2018, weekly jobless claims are out today with a forecasted slight drop down from the last report. The Philadelphia Fed releases the manufacturing index. And on the earnings calendar, Accenture, BlackBerry, Carnival Corporation, Conagra Brands, Nike, and Deerfield-based Walgreens Boots Alliance all scheduled to report earnings today. Just some of the things that could move the markets on this Thursday, December 20th, 2018. That's the opening bell. This is WGN. I'm Bennett Wakenight. Thanks for joining us this morning.